On today's episode, we're going to be talking about why not facing our reality can be the worst thing we can do on Soul 02. And welcome to Soul 02. This is the podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian life one soul at a time. And so glad to be with you today. And we're going to talk today about why not facing your reality is actually catastrophic. And I think it was in the 80s where William Glasser did his book called Reality Therapy, which is a great book. And they say that his main thing of his main thesis or theme was you got to face your reality, man. You know, when you face reality, joy returns to your life, completion returns to your life, even though it's a hard reality. And so there was this whole thing, and you know, but here's my point. One of the most dangerous and toxic things that any of us can do is to run away from ourselves. That is to refuse to face our reality as it is. Now, there are times where we have bad days and we just check out. This is not what we mean. We all have what we call mental health days and days where maybe you might even call in sick because you're so out of it emotionally. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the idea of letting that become your only story and your dominant story, where we do that all the time. And it is very dangerous when we run away from ourselves, because when we run away from ourselves, a couple of things happen, but one of them is this, that our life stops right in its tracks, basically. And all forward movement ceases. And we fall into this rut that repeats itself every day in a mind-numbing predictability, like Groundhog Day, if you ever saw the movie. Groundhog Day is very funny, but imagine if you had to live the same day every time. And we find that during COVID, that feeling was a little closer than we care to admit, because many of us were home. And when you're home, there is such little delineation between, you know, work and home, so you feel like it's the same day, and you have these habits you do and all of these things. And so all this forward movement begins to stop when we run away from ourselves and we escape into ourselves. But also, I want to mention this to you, that our that not only does all forward movement stop, but let me give you this one here. We stop growing and progressing. And when you stop growing and progressing, that's a serious thing, because we mentally and spiritually starve. And there is something about facing reality that actually makes you grow and thrive. And that's why it's important to face reality, because when you don't face it, you don't grow, you don't respect yourself, your self-esteem plummets. But when you face it, there's something that changes in you, even if the reality is awful and terrible. I've seen situations where, and seen documentaries where this one woman, she was a reporter and went to Africa, and she was kidnapped and then raped by you know, multiple times. And it was horrific. I mean, I couldn't imagine as a man going through that. And she not only faced it, but she did a documentary on it. And then she went back to Africa to help the people she was helping. I mean, to me, that is the perfect example of what happens when you face your reality, no matter how ugly it is. And we pray for her. We pray God help her to, you know, to have a great life, you know, have a strong life. But so we stop growing and progressing. But also this happens as well. We set ourselves up for depression and feelings of hopelessness when you stop facing your reality as it is. And how does this apply to what we're talking about? Solitude, right? Because this is solitude part two. But, and I'll get to that in a minute, but William Glasser, author of the book Reality Therapy, he once said this, and I'll explain it, but he said this. He said happiness basically occurs, let me take that one out there. He said happiness occurs most often when we are willing to take responsibility for our behavior. Irresponsible people always seek to gain happiness without assuming responsibility, find only brief periods of joy, but not the deep-seated satisfaction which accompanies responsible behavior. And so he's talking about facing that reality as it is and about not letting it get to you, so to speak, right? And the point is that when we face our reality, it's hard to not respect yourself when you're facing it and you're taking responsibility for your actions or for whatever happens in your life. And we find that in life, we often run from ourselves. And again, I know that we have the occasional times where we run for ourselves for, you know, more than once. But the point is, we don't want this to be our narrative. We don't want this to be our life story where we just escape every day. And so one of the first steps of facing our reality is simply this. And I'll bring this one back, but it's simply this. It's spend more time with God, right? And for some reason, it's not coming up on my screen, but so let's try this one. There you go. Spend more time with God in solitude. And that is one way that's a starting point. And again, we're speaking not as psychologists. I'm not a psychologist. We're speaking as Christians who believe God's word. Spend time with God in solitude. That's the key. When we spend time with God, we are both facing ourselves and God against the unpleasant reality in our lives. Now, I know that some psychologists talk about, you know, doing that with therapy, and that's great. You know, we don't argue that, but we're talking about this from a Christian point of view. And forgive me for that sound there, but let me say this, that when we spend time with God, there's something that happens. We face Him, but we also face ourselves. And solitude causes us to stand back and see things as they really are. But this is where solitude comes into this conversation about facing reality, that often we run from ourselves because we don't want to... If you're a Christian, often you don't want to pray, and believe me, I have lived this. You don't want to pray because you don't want to face yourself. Maybe you did something wrong or didn't do something you should have done, or who knows, right? Or something happened to you awful and you don't want to face it, because in prayer, you have to face yourself because you're in the presence of your Creator. And when we spend time with God, we are both facing ourselves and God against that reality that is ugly, no matter how ugly. And solitude causes us to stand back in an objective way. And even though we're facing it, at the same time, we're detaching ourselves in a healthy way. Because the unhealthy way is to run away from it, to detach yourself, because that really is the worst way. It actually makes it worse. It accentuates it more. And when we talk about detach, it's in getting touch. It's getting in touch with our hearts and with our God that we are able to detach ourselves from the ugly reality in a healthy way instead of in an unhealthy way. Unhealthy ways are going to a bad habit or doing something, you know, wrong, morally wrong, right? And we find that when we face the ugly reality in God's presence, and maybe you might need counseling along with it, of course, counseling is great, but we're able to work beyond it and not stay stuck in front of it and close our eyes and hide like the ostrich in the sand, you know? So it's only in standing back from something that we can really see what something truly is. And this is what I'm talking about. Real objectiveness is not running away from it into a bottle or into a drug or into illicit sex, you know, or something wrong. But it's in running into God's arms and saying, Lord, this really hurts and I hate it, and letting Him bring you through it. And if you need counseling, you take counseling. It's wonderful. But did you know that there were a group of people called the Desert Fathers and Mothers, for that matter, and they were men and women who were devoted to Christ, and they found their true reality in the one place that is the enemy of all fake reality, the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, you really can't make anything up. There's nothing there. It's so stark, right? And Thomas Merton said that the Desert Fathers, they believed that the wilderness had been created as supremely valuable in the eyes of God precisely because it had no value to men. Or women, for that matter, right? And the wasteland was the land that could never be wasted by people because it offered them nothing. There was nothing to attract them, nothing they can exploit, and there was nothing to control. And their only choice is to trust in God. And this desert is a metaphor for solitude. Your desert could be a room in your home where God says, I just want you to spend time with me there and catch up with your heart and your head and let God do it. So, and that's why the children of Israel discovered who they really were in the desert, right? John the Baptist was made in the wilderness. That's why he was so tough. Paul the Apostle was reinvented in the wilderness. For 3.5 years, I think he was in the desert. But here's something else I want to say, that this facing reality is actually a biblical principle, that you know that. And the call to discipleship, right? Taking up your cross, dying to yourself, laying down your life. These are words that Jesus spoke before he let people follow him. And yes, he let them follow him, but at some point he showed them the price tag. He says, this is what it will cost you to follow me. And Jesus minced no words when he spoke of the stark reality of following him, of what it means to be his disciple. And that's why I love Christ so much, because he never tried to charm you or sell you like a fast-talking salesman. He just said, this is the road, and either you follow me or you don't. And he wanted his followers to see clearly the path that they were choosing. So, and think of Christ's reality on the cross. He faced his own reality on the cross. He didn't run from it. He didn't hide from it. When Jesus was on the cross, he refused the wine and the gall that was offered to him. And these were numbing agents that would put him in la-la land. And he wanted to endure the cross with the full consciousness of what was happening so that he would save the world and bring salvation to the world. And to me, that's an amazing thing, that the wine and gall were designed to knock him out, so to speak. So, but this biblical principle of facing reality is a powerful thing. Anyone can bravely pledge martyrdom, but to give God the years of your life, saying, God, take my whole life ahead of me, that takes great courage. This is why Thomas Merton once put it this way. Thomas Merton said this. He said, the death by which we enter into life is not an escape from reality, but a complete gift of ourselves, which involves a total commitment to reality. And what a beautiful way of putting it. It's saying, I'm going to give my life to God and face my reality as it is, and I'm not going to run from it, and knowing and trusting that God's going to take care of it. So what's the point then here of what we're making? Facing reality, facing your reality begins, and again, this is from a Christian point of view, I'm saying this today. Facing reality begins by renouncing the fake reality, right? It begins by renouncing the fake reality as our daily narrative. I'm not talking about when you have a bad week and you kind of escaped and, got off base. I mean, when this becomes your life story, this is very dangerous. Right, and these are the unrealities that we find solace in and rely on and become lost in for indefinite periods of time. Those can be very, very dangerous, and so we must, as Christians, renounce the fake realities where we've been living inside our head of what what we want, what we wish life would be, what we wish our relationships would be, or all these things. And this doesn't mean that daydreaming is a bad thing. We're not saying that either, right? There's healthy daydreaming, right? But it's when daydreams become your reality, they become so real to you that you escape from your responsibilities and doing the right thing. So fake realities are dangerous because when they have our hearts, we treat them as if they're real. So if you like this podcast, leave a comment and recommend it to a friend. Check out soul02.com and check out our YouTube. We're also on Facebook. And I'm so glad that you could join us today. Until next time, it's good to be with you. God bless. And welcome to Soul 02. This is the podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian.